This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
Happy Sabbath, church. Are you sure my mic is on? It's on. So let me start again. Happy Sabbath, church. Yeah, my mic is on now. All right. We thank you for your presence, and we thank God for his presence in this place this morning. Are you sure of God's presence today, this morning, in this place? It's not morning anymore, this afternoon. Yes. And we enjoy the presence of the Lord, and we thank the Lord for his blessing and for the privilege that we have to come together as a community. Some of us here in the temple, others online, but all of us doing the same thing, coming together to praise and glorify our God, because this is God's day. This is our day, the day we enjoy to be in the presence of the Lord. So again, happy Sabbath, everyone. This month, you know that we've been, the theme of the month was, or is, Christian service. And last week, again, you were here for Pastor McCoy's message, where he pointed to the compassion of Jesus. Today, our message, our sermon, is based on Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And we titled the sermon, The Power of a Witness. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. All of you, you know that first, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. This is a verse, an interesting verse that we all know. But it mentions something very important. There is a power that we will receive, and we will be a witness. Do you know how powerful a witness can be? Let me tell you how powerful a witness can be. On February 13, 1976, a gentleman of the name of Richard Holloman of Wilson, North Carolina, he was killed in his convenience store. After the killing, the police came. They interviewed a store clerk, and the store clerk gave the police some information about the man who committed the crime. In their investigation soon after, another man came and told the police that, "I know who did it. There is a gentleman in the name of Charles Ray Finch. I saw him at the store a few hours earlier. I know he did it." The police called on Charles Ray Finch, and they brought the store clerk who witnessed what happened. They put a lineup of supposed criminal, and behind that dark glass, the store clerk, he identified Charles Ray Finch as the man who shot Richard Holloman. They did three lineups. In all three times, he identified the same man. And you know what will happen in that case? Charles Ray Finch, he was arrested. charged with capital murder. He was tried, and after less than 2 hours deliberating, the jury convicted him. And the next day, the judge sentenced him to death. But eventually, his sentence was commuted to life in prison because that same day, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down the North Carolina death penalty statute. Charles Ray Finch was 38 years old at the time of his sentence. But he maintained his innocence. He didn't do it. He worked with attorneys and sometimes acting to see to sought to overturn his conviction. And he did that for the next 43 years. This is all wrong. It's work. Thank you. This is all wrong. This is all wrong it took him to prove finally he was innocent. And finally, on May 23rd, 2019, a judge vacated his conviction and ordered him released from prison. He was 81 years old. Spent 43 years behind bar for a crime he did not commit. And recently, in June 16, 2021, North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper, he granted Finch a pardon of innocence, making Finch eligible to receive state compensation for his wrongful conviction. But guess what? One of the contributing factors, one of the decisive elements of this ordeal, it was a mistaken witness identification. About the power of a witness. Because this guy said, yes, he did it. I saw it. I was there. This gentleman ended up spending 43 years of his life for a crime he did not commit. But guess what? This morning, the Lord is calling on us and he's telling, I want to give you a special power and to transform you into a witness. Not that type of witness, but to transform you into a witness, a powerful one. Let us pray. Lord God, yes, you want to turn us into witness to testify about you. But alone, we cannot do it. And the best part of it, Lord, you promise to equip us. Please send us your Holy Spirit. We will accept the presence of your Spirit. And we will accept to go into the mission field and to witness about the greatness of our God, Jesus. Amen. Understand that being a witness is very important. And as I said, powerful. Because being a witness is being able to share what you know about. Being able to attest of something that really happened. And you are there. And you know. You've seen it. Or something that you know because you are qualified to know about this thing. Or witnessing about someone because you've lived with that person. You can testify about that person. And you know that one of the areas, as we saw early on, in the judicial system, witnessing is very important. And in a court, the witness would go and not just testify, but before testifying, the witness would take an oath stating that, yes, I will testify. But I will testify the truth. I'm not going to lie. It takes an oath to affirm the truth. And in the case of this gentleman who was condemned, was convicted for a crime he didn't do, they brought a witness, what is considered to be, because there are different type of witness in the judicial system, it was what is considered to be a lay witness. It was an eyewitness, because he said he was there, he saw him, he identified him. It was a lay witness. And there are also what is called expert witness. Expert witness that are called to testify based on their expertise on a matter. There are character witness. We can come and say, okay, I know this man. I know if he's a good man. I know this lady. I know what person she is. Testifying about the character or probably the victim or the character or probably the defendant. Different type of witness, but in all cases, in all of those cases, what is important is the witness is powerful because the witness is called to tell the truth about what you know, about what you experience. So you are doing an act of saying, I have personal knowledge. And this is why I can say and testify that what I'm saying is the truth. And you know the outcome can be terrible. In the case of Mr. Finch, he spent 43 years in prison. You know all of that. But what we know as well is the eyewitness is not always reliable. In the case of Mr. Finch, this gentleman said, yeah, I saw him. But not that he was lying about it necessarily. But in fact, that testimony was not reliable. And in this country, there are a lot of people that are in jail now for crime they did not commit. Because of an unreliable eyewitness coming to the trial and testifying about something they said they saw or they experienced, well, it was not exactly true. And you can think about that organization called the Innocence Project. What they do, they work and they fight every day to free the huge number of innocent people who are unjustly incarcerated in this country. And they were able to overturn conviction with DNA evidence for over 375 wrongful convictions here in the United States. And you know what? From those 375, 69% of them. The key factor was what? A mistaken eyewitness. Think about the power of a witness. And guess what? Our verse today. Jesus is having his last meeting with his disciple. But he asked them first to do something or not to do something. He asked them not to leave where they are, but to wait for a promise from the Father. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus is telling them, while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. Let me put this in context very quickly. They were with Jesus. They were already doing ministry with Jesus. They were already on the mission field. Somehow, you would think that they know what they are doing, and they know what they have to go out there and do. But Jesus said, no, you are not ready yet. Because whenever Jesus is asking you to go into the mission field, whenever Jesus is asking you to witness, to testify, he does not send you alone. Because for some reason, you are not ready. And if you look at what happened the first time in Matthew 10, where Jesus put his disciple out there, he empowered them. He didn't only tell them, you go, you do service, you do work, you preach, and you heal the sick. No. Yeah, this was what they were about to do, but he empowered them because he was the support, he was the key driver, he was the power that they would need to do the work. Jesus told them, wait, you cannot go. You might know what to say. You might know where to go. You are not ready yet. Because you have to receive something powerful. The Holy Spirit will come, and then you will be ready. Jesus continued in verse 6, Acts chapter 1. The disciple did not understand really what was going on, and they told him, you know, so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? That's unfortunate. Their mind was still focused on the restoration of the physical kingdom to Israel. Their time with Jesus, Jesus' death and resurrection were not enough to open their eyes to the greater picture. They did not understand the nature of his kingdom. This is why they're asking that question. In verse 7, Jesus clarified and said, listen, this is none of your business. This should not be your concern. It is not for you to know times or season that the Father had fixed by his own authority. Don't even ask me, it's not me. Is the Father. You should not be focused on when this is coming, this will happen. Verse 8. But what you get to know now is that you have a mandate. And you will be equipped to execute the mandate. You will receive power. You will receive power in the form of the Holy Spirit. And you will be my witness. You will be my witness. Well, you will be my witness. You will be my witness in Judea. In Jerusalem first. In Judea. In Samaria. And everywhere else. He has a reason why he asked them to wait. He was taken away. He doesn't wait for the power to come. The field, brothers and sisters, is large and demanding. God said I would this disciple, and today God is calling us to enter the field. But know that God will not send us out in the field without preparation, without equipping. Jesus instructed the disciple to wait for the power to come, the Holy Spirit. It was not a power to restore some type of manly kingdom, the kingdom to Israel. It was not a power to restore, to give them political clout or some type of military might. This was not the vision of power that Jesus was referring to. They would receive that power. It was not what they were thinking about. They would receive the power of the Holy Spirit, as in God dwelling within them and transforming them, equipping them to testify. Testify about what? Testify about God. Testify about what they knew, what they experienced. And brothers and sisters, this morning, if there is one thing that is needed now, if there is one thing that I need, that you need, that the church of God need now, we need to receive that power, the Holy Spirit coming and dwelling into our lives. It will not happen as a miracle. We go on our business and then, boom, the Holy Spirit is there. He asked them to wait, and they waited.
And what did they do? They prayed and they waited and they prayed. There were a conscious, intentional act of knowing it is coming and putting themselves in condition to receive it. It was not another miracle. They have to choose to receive it and to be transformed into witness, to testify on the mission field where he told them in Act 1, you are going to wait and you are going to testify where? In Jerusalem. Jesus put it in, I would say, a progressive way. First of all, in Jerusalem and Judea. Guess what? Friendly territory. Jews, church members, or people who know Christ. Jerusalem, Judea. And then he's pushing the territorial to the extent beyond the what could be called the friendly world. He's extending geography. Oh, after Judea, who comes in? Samaria. And guess what? You know the long story between the Samaritan and the Jews. They didn't like each other. But guess what? They are sons and daughters of God. God created them and loved them. So they needed to hear the great news of the gospel. They needed to hear what Jesus has done. So we needed to witness to them. It was not friendly territory. And now, beyond Samaria, everywhere else, out of Jerusalem, out of Judea, another ethnicity, Samaria, and everywhere else, wherever there is a living soul, wherever there is someone who is alive, there is a need for a witness. Jesus didn't ask them to perform any rituals. He didn't ask them to act according to certain rules or to refrain from certain activity. He only promised them that they would testify to his power when the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they were to tell what any witness say, what they knew, what they experienced, what they heard. Why they saw, and why did they saw? What did they knew? They knew they saw Jesus performing miracles. And the four Gospels record at least 37 miracles performed by Jesus while he was with his disciples. 37 miracles or instances of series of miracles, because it was not just 37. For instance, in Matthew, we found out that place, Matthew 15, where the disciple, where they brought a lot of people to Jesus. And Jesus healed them, all of them, in one day. That cannot count for one miracle. We don't know how many. And actually, John 21, verse 25, mentioned something that is clear. There are also, John 21, 25, now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written? I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. To say how many things Jesus did, he did a lot of things. So they have a large package of material available to take from and to testify. Testify about the miracle, yes. Jesus feeding thousands. Jesus casting evil spirit. Jesus healing the sick, the blind, the deaf, the infirm. Jesus turning water to wine. Jesus controlling nature, water, and other elements of nature. Jesus helping disciples to catch a surprisingly large amount of fish. Jesus raising people from dead. They had a lot to testify about. But more than the miracles, they were with Jesus, they were living with him. They could testify about Jesus going to the temple on Sabbath, about Jesus preaching the gospel, about Jesus teaching them, about Jesus mingling with people, not only his church bodies, but mingling with people, everyone, where their needs were. They could testify about Jesus having a social life, going to people's houses, and people, well, normally, according to his friend, where he should not have been. But he didn't go to those houses just to have a good time, you know, drink a couple of, you know, shot. No. He had a specific purpose, and the disciple could have attested that. And they have all that material they can choose from to be a witness. But more importantly, they experience also Jesus taking time to be alone with the Father and praying. They witnessed all of that. So they knew all of that. So they could be that witness. Jesus is telling them they will be a witness because they have knowledge and experience. You live with me. You observe what I've done. So you know. Can we say that of each one of us today, brothers and sisters? Can I say that I'm ready to be that witness because I have that personal knowledge of Jesus? I have that personal experience of Jesus. I know Jesus for myself. I have not read about him only. No, it's not about did you read about him? Testifying, it's not about reading what happened in a book or reading the news or a podcast and then I'm ready to testify. No, you are not a witness. Being that witness is to have that personal experience, that personal knowledge. Do you know Jesus? And ready to testify about Jesus? It's a question that we should ask ourselves and testify in all truth that we know and knowing the outcome. Because when we know Jesus, when we testify about Jesus, guess what? Jesus used us to transform life. Transform you. We transform life. Not because we know what to do, but because Jesus is using us. Jesus is asking us, he's asking us to be a witness. So it's time for us to be that witness, brothers and sisters. He's not inviting us to go into a mission on proxy, you know. It's not a mission on proxy. Because I have some money and I can give some money so for the work here and then some money for the work there. And then, you know, I'm with you, brother, but it's just I give some money. No. Jesus is inviting us. The mission requires everyone to get personally involved, to everyone to pull up their sleeves, to everyone to be in the mission field testifying about the goodness and the greatness of God. Oh, sometimes we talk about, oh, giftedness or specialization. Oh, this is not my area of giftedness. Oh, this is not what I know how to do the best. Just as an excuse for inaction, in other words, or for excessive delegation. But regardless of your area of giftedness, and that is true, giftedness is real. But testifying about Jesus is not about just giftedness. It's about opening your life and heart to the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will equip you to do the work in the mission field. Being a bystander does not help either. No, we need to get into action. We cannot say like a coach, you know, on the sideline, you know, giving instruction. No, we need to be on the field, not by ourselves, Not because we are qualified, not because we are ready, but because we've received the power, the Holy Spirit. Well, one great example from the Bible that I like so much is the parables of the Good Samaritan that we found in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And this, I want to acknowledge my mistake this morning. You know, in first service, I said Matthew chapter 10. It's not Matthew chapter 10. Please go and tell those that were in first service. It's Luke chapter 10. Right, Mike? Yes. This gentleman, he was on his way to perform some function, probably business, we don't know. But when he found out about the man that was wounded, the Bible says that he felt compassion for the man. Do you remember Pastor McCoy last week's preaching about compassion? He felt compassion for the wounded man. Well, guess what? He had money. One thing that he could have done, could have called anyone around and say, you know what, I'm in my way to do some important function. You know, I cannot stay here. I don't have time to take care of him, please. We need money to take care of him. I want you to take care of him. Please, do it for me. This is the money. And take care of this man. Could have done that. That would be nice. And we will still, you know, we will still be getting an interview with Anderson Cooper as an hero, right? Because he gave the money. But this is not what he did. He stopped his trip. He personally took care of the man. You know, took care of the wound of the man. He took the man to a hotel, looked over him overnight, and the next day, he was comfortable enough to leave. He paid. He left money so they could continue to take care of this gentleman and say, this is not all. I will come back. And if there is more money that was spent, I will pay any unpaid balance. Brothers and sisters, that is called seeing a need, engaging directly into addressing the need, and follow up until the situation is completely resolved. That is called intentionality. That is called engagement. That is called compassion. That's called care. That's called love. But guess what? More than that, not care, love, compassion, intentionality, because we are good, but because we accept the Holy Spirit, the power that God promised to move in our life and take us into action and serve God's people. Serve God's people, not those that we know, anyone, because this gentleman, he did not know the wounded man. So our testimony should be addressed to everyone. And Sister White, in the Desires of Ages, page 86, what that Christ, Sister White, the Desires of Ages, page 86, Christ was not exclusive. And he had given special offense to the Pharisees by departing in disrespect from their rigid rules. He found the domain of religion fenced in by high walls of seclusion as too sacred a matter for everyday life. These walls of partition he overthrew. In his contact with men, he did not ask, what is your creed? To what church do you belong? He exercised his helping power in behalf of all who needed help. Instead of secluding himself in a hermit cell in order to show his heavenly character, he labored earnestly for humanity. He inculcated the principle that Bible religion does not consist in the mortification of the body. He taught that pure and undefiled religion is not meant only for set times and special occasions, or at all times and in all places. He manifested a loving interest in men and shared about him the light of a cheerful piety. The Desires of Ages, page 86. He continued that later on, still Desires of Ages, page 193. In face of their prejudices, he accepted the hospitality of these despised people. He slept under their roof, ate with them at their tables, partaking of the food prepared and served by their hands, taught in their street, and treated them with the utmost kindness and courtesy. Desires of Ages, page 193. This was the Jesus model. And this is what Jesus is calling on all those who know him to do and to testify about and to be a witness. All we can do if we accept and receive the Holy Spirit that he promised, we have the power to go and do to people in our time what Jesus did to people in his time, what the disciple did to people in their time. But now is my time, is your time, brothers and sisters, your time to go, to receive that power and to testify about Jesus. Jesus is telling us that sure, we do have knowledge, we do have experience, we do have intentionality, but that is not enough. The time we are living in, we need to be that witness. But Jesus is telling us, you cannot do it by yourself. And there is one reason, he doesn't want to do it by ourselves. And we try to do it by ourselves, we will fail surely, because it is there will be a question of pride involved. If we go by ourselves, we can pride ourselves of being a great humanist, or let's say a philanthropist, big words, right? Or people servant, or a miracle worker, whatever else. But no, we don't need all those big titles. We need to be Jesus' servant, and we need to open our life to accept his equipping. The power, the Holy Spirit coming into our life, transform our life, and we are ready to witness. Yes, witness, not replacing Jesus for people. We are not Jesus. Jesus is Jesus. But we are the witness. All we should do should be the result of receiving the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we receive that power of the Holy Spirit, you will see, brothers and sisters, you will do things that you would never think that you could do. You will be in places, testifying in places that you would, let's say, blame someone, criticize someone to go in such places. You will find yourself helping people, reaching out to people with you would regard before like not worthy of, because you receive that power. And when you receive that power, it changes your entire perspective. It changed your eyes so you see differently. It changed your mind so you think differently. It changed the way you go about the mission, because you have that love, that special love, that pushing of the Holy Spirit that is taking you in places you don't even think. And it's not about, oh, let me think, or because of the time, or I can be modern in my witnessing. It's not about being modern, no. It's about allowing the Holy Spirit to help you find the exact right way to go about your witness. To reach out those people who need Jesus. And everyone needs Jesus. To that point, Sister White says, those who want those who stand in Christ object lessons, page 220 to 21. Those who stand high in the world for their education, wealth, and or calling are seldom addressed personally in regard to the interests of the soul. Many Christian workers hesitate to approach these classes, but this should not be. If a man were joining, we would not stand by and see him perish because he was a lawyer, a merchant, or a judge. If we saw a person rushing over a precipice, we would not hesitate to urge them back, whatever might be their position or calling. Neither should we hesitate to warn men of the peril of the soul. None should be neglected because of their apparent devotion to worldly things. But you can have that perspective. You can look at people like that, and you can be engaged to everyone, to anyone, anywhere, everywhere, because you receive that power and you are a witness all the way to the end of the earth. And I would not like to terminate without mentioning one specific thing. It's good when we are talking about receiving the power, the Holy Spirit, and witnessing. We refer to example in the Bible. And that's fine, that's great. But I want you to know there are people with us, people that we know. And why not us doing the same, opening our lives to the power of the Holy Spirit and witnessing for Jesus in some ways or others. And I would like to point that people here in Plantation Church, and let me tell you, I know someone, I know a sister in Plantation Church. She got the call, and she's engaged in a specific type of ministry, and she went out because at some point, she feels there is a need to talk about sexual exploitation of young people. And I know that sister. She went in to create the MG Scarlet Foundation, Sister Tamara Dawes. This is here, someone from your plantation, allowing the Holy Spirit to touch her heart and to go into action. I know someone. I know a brother that has been preaching the gospel constantly for decades and decades, dedicating his life to preach the gospel, to do Bible study one by one, to do baptismal class, Bible studies. I know someone named Alex Graham here in Plantation Church. I know someone here in Plantation Church. I know a couple actually in Plantation Church. They love people in need, and they allow themselves to be touched by that power, and they develop that ministry with the children ministry to go to serve the homeless brother Andrew and sister Nicole Loyton. I know people in Plantation, and I know you. Doing the work, not because we are qualified, not because we have experience, not because we are educated, not because we have the money, not out of guilt, out of shame, not for pride, not for glory, but because of one thing: you will receive a power, the Holy Spirit. Have you accepted that power already? Have you had that special experience of accepting the power and of allowing the power to come into your life and to transform you? If you have accepted that power, know that Jesus will continue to use you as long as you keep allowing His Holy Spirit to guide you. But if you have not accepted that power yet, it's not too late. It is the time to make that decision. And if you are here in this room and you want to take that public decision, you want to stand up to say, "Yes, Jesus, I want to receive your Holy Spirit this morning." You can do that by just standing up and publicly state, Jesus, I want to be a witness. I want that knowledge, deep knowledge of you. I want to receive your Holy Spirit in my life. And I want to go into action in the mission field in one way or another. And if you are home, you can text in 954-388-8780. 954-388-8780. And we will reach out to you. We will pray with you and go with you, support you in your journey of calling on the Holy Spirit into your life and to go into ministry. Is there anyone you would like to take that stand this morning to tell Jesus, I want to take that stand, to tell Holy Spirit, come into my life? If you are here this morning, I'll invite you to stand up. Or if you are home, to text. Lord God, so many times we try to go at it by our own might, by our own feeling, the way we see, the way we want to do it. But this morning, you are revealing to us that there is a better way. So Lord God, open our heart and life to receive the Holy Spirit this morning. Open our soul to the presence of your Holy Spirit this morning. And may your Spirit come, stays, and transforms our life into real witness, testifying of Jesus, the Jesus that we know, the Jesus that we've experienced, the Jesus that is coming soon. This is our humble prayer in your name, Jesus. Amen. Departing from this place this morning, this afternoon, may you send us back, not just home, Lord, but send us in the mission field where there is so much need and where labor is needed. More importantly, Lord, may we not depart alone, but may we wait and receive the power of the Spirit, and we will be willabors, witness testifying about God, witness changing life in the name of Jesus. May we go back home and in the mission field, being sure of your presence in our life. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated as the ushers escort you out.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.